I'm sitting at the back seat of a police car taking me to Bournemouth Police Station in England and wondering about the direction my life is taking. Running from the police was not the right thing to do. It doesn't take a genius to figure that out. 30 weeks pregnant and running a heptathlon. What kind of woman does that? The short woman with puppy eyes is turning me into an Olympian Jessica Ennis. Am I pregnant of a human or animal? Who knows what happened that night at the Limpopo River as I lay unconscious? Male genitals were written all over the back of the hyena looking after its cubs. So, who knows? It could have made me pregnant. The police lock me in a cell, saying I could choose to be seen by female officers only. They also inform me that a psychiatrist will see me soon. The alarm bells start ringing. I saw a witch doctor to avoid seeing a psychiatrist, but his concoction has delivered me into the hands of a psychiatrist. A few days ago, my uncle told me that my mother was discharged from hospital, but she was still in a vegetative state. I wish she was here and tell them that I'm not insane. While still feeling sorry for myself, the police return and lead me into a room to meet a psychiatrist. A white, short, bold man, 5'5" or so, introduces himself as Dr. Whitehead, the psychiatrist. He has a hairless scalp, save for a street tree-like thin line of hair on each side of the scalp running through the back of his head. He flattens the thin hair over his naked scalp. There is no hint that once upon a time there was healthy hair at the center of his head. I feel intimidated by his thin hairline. Does he keep it to distract his patients so that they don't pay attention to his questions in order to find a reason to lock them up in hospital? He has two companions, a male GP and a woman social worker. Both are white. His first question is about what happened before the police picked me up. I tell him the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. At the end of the interview, they leave the room for private deliberations. A policewoman remains behind, guarding me. We are admitting you to a psychiatric hospital for further assessment. The psychiatrist calmly delivers a bombshell when he returns to the room with his colleagues. There's nothing wrong with me, I protest. From what you have told us, we think you need a further assessment in hospital, he responds. What have I told you that makes you think I need another assessment? Seeing a person that others don't see. What? Smearing ash in the forest concerns us too. We do that every day from where I come from. You can get admitted voluntarily or under the Mental Health Act, he says politely. What? Under the Mental Health Act, the law allows us to admit and detain you in a psychiatric hospital for assessment. Admitting me to hospital against my will? I'm horrified by the prospect of being detained in a psychiatric hospital. Pretty much, he responds. What if I refuse to go? Would you use the police to frog march a pregnant woman into a psychiatric hospital? Would you? Only as a last resort. You can go in voluntarily. Make up your mind. It's your choice. It's my choice? I am mad at him. Choice means I choose to go to the hospital or not. Choice is not about choosing between two evils. It's about choosing between good and bad. Do you want? Please, let me finish. Let me tell you my choice. Allow me to go home now, I interrupt him. Are you going informally or informally? He asked calmly. But his thin hairline put me under pressure by quivering from the blowing fan in the room. Something in his voice tells me he isn't changing his mind.